like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. Don't push me, cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head.
It's like a jungle sometimes. It sure makes you wonder sometimes how to keep from going under. And if you was in here with us, you would clearly understand. But let me bring you up to snuff. You are listening to Soul Tape Champions Live. And you can get us on Twitter. See, we're big time operation here. This is serious stuff we be doing. Soul Take Champions Live at STCL Sports. I'm getting this done without glasses, Smitty, so check me out. That's the Twitter account. Or you can go to urbanmedia.com. Urbanmediatoday.com. Now, listen. By now you know we've been on the air a month and a half. Bringing you the best in sports talk conversation. We've had the great JT Thomas, four-time Super Bowl champion on. Darrell Porter, All-American out of Pitt. Robin Cole, two-time Super Bowl champion. And then now today, admittedly, we've stepped down a little bit. all we got is a killer, Moody, and Rock. So I don't know what that tells you, but clearly we stepped down a bit. Now, look. Kev's going to tell you about Trev's show. Trev, our producer, handling the wheel of steel, if you will. But I do want to offer this because Kev keeps talking about how hard golf is, and Rock keeps talking about how hard baseball is, or vice versa, whatever. But let me tell everybody in here something. Let me tell you what's hard. When you're the defensive tackle and you got two people lined up to stop you, and your very existence depends on getting to the quarterback, which I did fairly well, killer. That's hard. Mm-hmm. Now, y'all talking about hitting the ball. I got a boy 265 in front of me. I got a boy 275 slanting down on me. I got a running back with his eyes on me, and I'm still getting to the quarterback. Now, that's business. Go ahead, Kev. Talk about this. I just wanted to give you a man's point of view. Y'all talking about, you know, hitting a white ball and one on the ground ain't moving and one in the air kind of coming at you. I'm talking about human beings trying to take my head off, and I'm still in the Hall of Fame. So now go ahead on. What, Smitty? Am I all right?
You're good, but I think I got you beat. I had three sacks in a row against Millville High School. So I don't know if getting to the quarterback is that hard.
Well, it ain't that hard against Millville High School. But the likes of Altoona, Butler, Johnstown, Kiski area, now that's
you got me beat.
That's what they used to call quad A killer. That's a different world than you used to function in. Go ahead, Kevin, take it away, man.
So, Bill, I want to make sure everyone is aware of the sports shows here at Urban Media Today. And it's Urban Media Today Talk Sports coming on a weekly basis as well, every Saturday at 8 a.m., or you could catch it at 6 p.m. Is that right, Trev? Mm-hmm. Okay, so a lot of the topics going on in sports, you could catch it with that particular program as well.
So they're like the varsity and we're like the JV. Is that what you're saying?
Well, last week it was the other way around, Bill. You're changing up on me now.
Share the wealth a little bit.
Okay, so Urban Media Today Talk Sports, Trav and his team, every Saturday in the a.m., 8 a.m., as well as in the evening, 6 p.m., right, Trav?
You know what it sounds like? Now, again, I'm not one to start any trouble.
Okay, sure.
But it sounds like maybe our team might want to do battle with their team in some particular sport. I don't know.
We can get that done, too. We could get that done, too.
Well, Trev just woke up. First time he smiled all day. I just hit a nerve. So maybe there can be a little competitiveness offered from his team and our team.
Trev, did you all talk about golf versus baseball this past week?
No, you talked about real stuff.
Okay, This is what happened. We did talk about the Masters, but we stayed away from your question about is golf harder than baseball. I see Coach Robinson over there, and you got into it about that one. So we'll leave that alone. And I won't stay on the mic long because this is not my show. It's your show. And And for you, Mr. Neal, there is no competition, sir. We're on the same team. So and we're going to forever be on the same team. Because what we're trying to do is we're going to make Urban Media Today the best and have people come in here to listen to both shows. Now, I like what Kevin said, and both of you actually came up with this, but Kevin had mentioned it to me. At one time, one day, we're going to have a show where it's both of us together to do a show, which I think will be amazing. Because of the talent here, and even the guests with the talent here.
Clearly missed the point. I'm talking about my team.
I know what you're talking about. We're not. No, my basketball days are over.
Oh, as are ours. Yeah.
My knees are telling me it's a wrap.
That's what makes it interesting.
I'm not playing Kev.
Come out and see old Cripple.
I'm not playing Kev, and I'm not playing you in basketball.
Because I got a few ringers I can bring to the game. Myron Brown is waiting for a phone call. Well, look, what's important to note is, out of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, comes all this knowledgeable, good sports talk in an area where, as you guys experienced over the years, we are still facing some of those barriers. Mm-hmm. So black sports personalities, female sports personalities on air in this area, it's a struggle. And let's just say what it is, because I've talked about it at length. But there's a host of sports talk shows in Western Pennsylvania, and probably if I had to guess, there's at least 20 shows, maybe more, and easily 40 or 50 sports personalities, and I think maybe two black personalities on air, live.
And you have one of the two only black shows probably
in Western Pennsylvania, two shows that we're bringing you, black produced, black owned, black presented. So it is monumental, to say the least, and still some barriers to be knocked down. But hey, Kev, I got to finish this, man, because
okay,
if I don't, John Kinsel might trip me up going down the steps or something. The late, great John Kinsel, as I was alluding to, the killer, I was reminding him of the night at the Connie Hawkins League in East Liberty where I had the great Larry Harris got hacked from behind, and I jumped up, and John didn't call the foul, and John Kinsel hit me with a tech. So I said, John, how you hit me with a tech? He hit me with another tech. And when I opened my mouth again, he said, you're out of the game. So he made me leave the bench. So I went behind the fence, and I'm still calling the game. He hit me with another tech. He told Larry Harris, he said, if you don't get Neil out the park, I'm forfeiting the game. Here's a guy that threw me off the bench that I had painted, out the park, that I had constructed and out of my own league. Now, that's how tough John Kinsel was.
Right.
I had to go over to McDonald's to watch the game.
And I tried to explain to John, you do know Bill Neal pays us. Right.
John said, get him out of here. Larry said, go, man, go. But look, Kev, I don't know if you want to talk about this or not, because you're a LeBron fan. I can't stand him. We got some basketball people in here. Clearly, Boston is going to give way to the Cavs by way of elimination, that being Kyrie Irving eliminated. Now, I don't know if you all heard. You know he had surgery. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you understand what I read, that this surgery should have been done last year. Mm-hmm. He decided not to have surgery when he should have had it because he wanted to make this movie. You know, they're doing this throwback movie that's kind of taken off the Rucker League. And instead of getting the surgery and putting the movie off, he went ahead and did the movie and by his own account said he could fight through whatever pain he was dealing with. So now this surgery has him out for 5 months. Celtics can't beat the Cavs without Irving, we suspect. 76ers are getting stronger by the week. Toronto is in a position where they could challenge. But it looks like Cleveland may win by process of elimination.
But, Bill, are you sure it was the movie?
That's what I read.
Okay, because
that's what I read.
When you think about it, he just went to Boston this past year. So was it the movie or was this his opportunity to get a contract?
No, it was the timing, and I unfortunately can't give you the exacts on the timing, but in all sincerity, it was the timing that he chose to do what he did. When this surgery should have been done, he opted to do the movie. And they were very, very clear about that. So Who knows?
So when he went in to take his physical for Boston,
I can't give you that. I can only give, I'm just giving. I'm surmising what I read and what was said and what should have been and what the coming of the movie. And I'm going back once again, Kev, to don't disagree with anything I say. Keep that in front of you.
Well, you could tell
I gotta harken back to that on occasion. Just go with it when I give it to you.
You can tell I didn't even hear anything clearly, regarding that.
But you're a Cavaliers man, so clearly I guess
No, I'm not.
Oh, I thought you were a Cavaliers.
I'm not a Cleveland fan in anything.
Okay.
However, I'm very objective, and I call it the way I see it. Now, as you indicated, with Boston being hurt, that really changes a lot when it comes to the East. Everyone had Cleveland pinned in at the beginning of the year anyway. Cleveland had a lot of ups and downs with their change of personnel. And now you have, you know, Cleveland as the odds-on favorite right now. And we have to let things play out. But I'm not sure, Bill, if you see anyone else stepping up from a
You
have Toronto there.
Toronto is a team that could win the East. I just don't see Toronto being able to beat LeBron in seven. And I do mean LeBron, not the Cavs. You've got to beat LeBron in seven games. And if you're three games apiece going into the seventh, he's taking over.
Right.
So you've always got the Chamberlain factor, Michael Jordan factor, LeBron factor, that if you go three games apiece or if it comes down to the wire, you have a human being that is unstoppable, and that can, but anything can happen, certainly injuries. I did not anticipate Tyronn Lue coming back to coach him. I thought he was out for good. Now they seem to be a little bit better team than they were 2 weeks ago. Toronto could win it. I wouldn't be surprised if Philadelphia challenged
Philly. I was going to mention Philly.
I wouldn't be surprised if Philly challenged.
I mean, they won everything else this year, right?
They got a little bit of youth in there that's got to go into the playoffs.
Yeah, they won the Super Bowl.
They're claiming to be the city of champions.
They won NCAA men's basketball.
Villanova, yeah.
Okay.
Suburb of Philly.
Yeah.
Well, they're claiming.
They're part of Philly. They're in the Philly area, right?
What else? That's two.
I said this year. So how many other championships? I mean, is Patrick Reed from Philly?
No, but however, though, you have the Philadelphia Flyers playing the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Exactly.
Coming up.
And that's going to end.
And I mentioned that as well.
That's where it ends.
Yeah, that's going to end.
We will hope so.
Yeah. Well, I'll go on record to say don't like the Cavaliers, don't like LeBron, been on record for not liking him, and also let you know I have no reason not to like him. I just don't like him.
Philadelphia is on a 14 or 15 game winning streak right now. 16? Okay, going into – I have 14, Rock, so.
Okay.
But going into the playoffs. So you want to go into the playoffs as a hot team.
Yeah, but it doesn't always mean a thing. There's oftentimes you can go in hot and get taken apart. So none of those things matter. What matters is personnel and what talent you have going in. And so that being said, I wouldn't mind. You know, we got T.J. McConnell in Philly, Pittsburgh native. Wouldn't mind seeing Philadelphia come out the East. Wouldn't mind seeing a different team come out the East. Although I never said that when Jordan was playing with the Bulls, since I was a Bulls fan. And then the West is getting interesting. Curry's still hurt. Durant coming back and forth with injuries. Golden State's not a shoe-in. Houston looks like they're poised to take over the West, but then they run into OKC, and that changes things up. So it's going to be a little more interesting. I don't think, for as much as we like dynasties, you'd like to see a little bit of change. So it wouldn't hurt to see a Houston-Philadelphia final. That'd be interesting. But I don't think Houston has the mental stability of what to do to win the West. Do they have the understanding of team basketball is what it takes to win this thing?
I definitely think they have the understanding of team basketball.
But they've got great individual players who are subject to go off at any time. And so that, I think that's the only thing that Houston has to – Harden could decide, I want to score 48 tonight, and it changes the chemistry. So, but I wouldn't mind seeing a Houston-Philadelphia finish.
Mm-hmm.
But
well, I said Philadelphia from a playoff standpoint, maybe winning a couple series in the playoffs, but going to the championship, I don't see that.
Well, but you know, Toronto has pretty much said in so many words or statements to the press, you know, don't count us out. And as a matter of fact, stop counting us out. So Toronto believes in Toronto. You know, they believe that they're capable of winning it, the East.
They have the third best record in the NBA right now and the best record in the East. So you have to respect Toronto. And then when you take a look at who they put on the floor, the players that they have, they have some really good players, mm-hmm. and they play good team basketball as well.
Hey, man, let me just offer this. The Greek Freak.
Woo!
That boy is that young man is something else.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you see when he jumped over the 6'6" and NBA player?
Right.
And clearly, and different than when Vince Carter jumped over the 7-foot cat, because this guy was in motion. I mean, they were both in transition. He's a phenomenal talent. And as we all know, it's a long season for NBA basketball.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to start warming up now. And I quite honestly don't really get tuned in until playoff time.
Right.
I watch a few games here and there. But and I was reminding somebody not long ago, remember the times when the world stood still for the Chicago Bulls.
Right.
There was a time when no matter what you were doing, you were getting home at 1 o'clock to see ABC and Michael Jordan and the Bulls play whoever. It was just
so. Let me just go back a little bit. We talked about March Madness over the time frame that occurred, but since we have two officials in the house, I want to talk about that charging or blocking bill that we talked about in the Duke game.
Okay.
So if we could get their perspectives on that play.
Well, I said you saw the Duke.
Yeah.
Who did they play?
Kansas?
Duke Kansas game.
Mm-hmm.
And Duke is up, and I'm a Duke fan. Duke is up 3, I believe. And Kansas player comes down. Duke player is clearly both feet in.
He was there.
And ahead of the play. And they don't call the charge. They call blocking.
Right.
But did you see?
Gets a 2-shot foul. And they go down. Get the Duke misses his shot. Kansas comes back up and scores. I said that was a definitive play in losing that game. And when the new coach came in at Pitt, when I asked my press conference question, I led in by saying, first of all, coach, it was a charge. Mm-hmm. And the coach said, you're absolutely right. Mm-hmm. 200 people in a room he had just met 2 minutes ago.
Thought is that if a player is here, well, no, you can't see it in radio. If a player alights and he's already in the air and the player doesn't have that spot, it's clearly a block. Now, he may have that spot and it looks good, it gets run over, but if that guy has already been in the air, alights and he's in the air and he crashes into somebody who looks like they have the position because now he just moves right in there like that, then it's still a blocking foul.
But Smitty, that call, they played it back 100 times. He was planted before that boy took off. That was clearly a charge, and I know they know it was a charge. And, of course, you don't blame one play on a game. If that same call is made early in the game, it's much less significant.
Right.
But in that crucial moment, now, it wasn't the end of the game either. Duke still had a chance to win the game, but mm-hmm. that was a call that made a difference in the game. So that's
well. I know Bill never believes in karma, but how many? But how many calls has Duke through the universe?
That's what I raised. I raised the same thing.
I mean, it's just many, karma. That's just karma.
I raised the same thing. Mm-hmm. What did Antonio Brown say? Karma, mm-hmm. karma.
Who hates Kristen Lakner and who hates Duke? What's going on here? But I have two things to throw at you guys as officials. I think the jump stop is the worst play given to basketball. That ability for a player, especially in high school, mm-hmm. to dribble now. So to our listening audience, you're dribbling the ball. Defender steps up to your left, and the defender steps up to your right. You're able to finish a dribble, jump and land, and then leave the floor and score. And my gut is when you finish that dribble with that pivot, Smitty, when you jump, stop, you should not be able to move your foot again. And they allow him to continue through, which is how guys get through a double defensive situation. I think the jump stop is terrible for basketball.
You want to see something worse than that, the Euro step. That, you know, and I don't know how many officials even know how to call that.
So explain that. Explain that.
The Euro step is he's dribbling the ball. He takes a jump stop. Then he takes another stop to get around and shoot the ball. It's almost like 3.5 stops.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's crazy.
He's actually changing direction.
Yeah, he is changing direction. Yeah.
Now, let me throw this at you. Are you okay with the way basketball is from a standpoint of being able to call timeouts? Okay, so in other words, I'm dribbling the basketball, and now I dribble into the corner. You have two defenders trap me in a corner. I call timeout. Is that a rule that you would like to change?
No, I wouldn't like to change it. You know, it's part of the game. It's part of the strategy.
Okay, so in other words, in baseball, I'll take it back to baseball. All right? I'm in the batter's box. I have two strikes on me. I hit the ball. I pop the ball up, and the catcher's up under it. I would like to call timeout at that time. Okay? In the course of the play. That's the same thing. This is the only sport where you can get in trouble and you call timeout.
How is that the same?
The course of the play.
No, the play is so. That would be if a guy shoots the ball and wants to call timeout before it goes to the hoop.
No, the play is not dead. The play is still active, is what my point is. So if I'm playing defensive back in the NFL and I see a receiver behind me and the ball is in the air, I can't call timeout.
I'll make it very, very easy for you.
Right.
Follow the money. They're upset because baseball is too slow for the millennials. They're looking for ways to speed up the game.
Sure.
That's why they're making people come in the batter's box and bat. Mm-hmm. No more running up to the mound and having conversations.
But what about in football where, again, as a defensive back can't call timeout.
Football doesn't have a problem with people watching their sport. Baseball does, unfortunately. I love baseball, and they can take 8 hours to play the game.
No, you're missing my point. My point is basketball is the only sport in the course of the play where you can call timeout.
You
the
know,
only sport.
You know what? There's a mantra, I'm sure Killer is aware of it, that officials abide by, and that's don't punish good defense. A good trap
there
in the
go.
Corner is
go.
Excellent defense. So you have to give the offense to keep everything even. That's what officials do. The offense has an opportunity to call that timeout when they become trapped.
So they're offering that. So now you're legislating when you can call a timeout?
You shouldn't be able to call timeout unless the ball is dead. Okay, the ball is not dead when you're dribbling the ball and you get trapped in the corner. What other sport can you do that in? Think about it, Bill.
Well, Bill knows this. Bill knows this being a coach. That timeouts are precious, and you just don't want to lose them. So if you make a great trap, okay, and he calls a timeout, then it may not register then. Mm-hmm. But with 2 minutes to go in the game or 30 seconds to go in the game, and you don't have that timeout,
right.
You wish you would have had it.
Yeah, but my point is basketball is the only sport where during the course of a play you can call timeout.
The real question is basketball harder than golf?
No, it's not. No, it's not.
That's the real question. The real question is
I can
basketball
answer that
harder than
without
golf?
A problem.
Listen, now I want to throw you this. We're getting close to a finish here. Everybody's been talking about the catch. Jesse James could have taken us to the Super Bowl if he had been an inch closer or less of an inch of a knee on the ground. Now, as officials, how do you see that call and this continuing argument of what a catch is?
Some people would have their first wife on an inch, but that's another story.
Mm-hmm.
But what I would say is that The one I think was Coach Tomlin said, anybody with eyeballs, including Stevie Wonder, could see that he caught the ball.
Right.
I mean, that's crazy. He had the ball in his grasp like this. And it only rolled when he started to lend his hand to make sure he scored. And for them, of course, we're Pittsburgh Steelers fans, so we might not have saw it the same way if it had been New England that did that. But I thought it was clearly a catch. And as Tomlin said, whether it's in peewee ball, midget ball, or whatever other kind of ball is, except for the pros, that's the only place where it's not a catch.
Well, the first thing is he had broken the plane. They showed it over and over. His elbow was on the goal line. He had possession of the ball. You know, he didn't lose possession of the ball until after he broke the plane. That's all you have to do in football is break the plane.
Or apparently not.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, I couldn't believe when they didn't call. Oh. When they reversed the call, I couldn't believe it.
Well, the proof is important is that call, I mean, that rule is no longer in existence.
Right.
Exactly.
That's right. The proof of the pudding.
So what's the new rule? Anybody know?
The new rule is if you grasp the ball and break the plane, it's a touchdown. Right. You don't have to be worried about anything other than
so
that.
So it's common sense again.
Right. Yeah.
Let's go back to what you grew up with.
Exactly.
Now, what about this
even without the plane, take the plane out of it. So what's the rule in the middle of the field for a catch?
You catch the ball, you hit the ground, you still have the ball, it's a catch.
So you have to maintain possession.
But you
hit the ground,
the difference is though, you don't have to worry about the squirminess. You know, the ball, you hit the ground, and now the ball rolls out. You know, they're getting away from that.
Okay, and cause a fumble.
And then you have the 15-yard penalty for lowering your head when you make contact. So, how do you feel about that new rule?
Yeah, I do attempt to coach, although I might get fired this year, but. At Woodland Hills, we never teach players to use their heads. We always teach them to keep their heads up, and I'm sure they do that at every school, and see what you hit. We've had a tragedy in Pittsburgh. We lost one of our best players, head-on body contact. And it's I think they should be doing this a long time ago about the helmet contact.
I'm for whatever makes the game safe. Right. I've jokingly gone on record to say, but I'll say at least for a moment seriously, I've had four concussions that I can recall. Mm-hmm. And I can recall each hit vividly in this mm-hmm. very second. I can still see the face of the person that gave me the concussion or in one case, the knee. I can mm-hmm. still see it in my mind. Out of the three of the four concussions I remember, one of the concussions I had, I lost track of a whole week. So I can recount what I did before the game. I can account getting hit, and then my roommate told me what I did for a week. And I, in my life, so if you go back 30 years and say, Bill, what did you do when Earth, Wind & Fire was here? I would say ABC. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you what I did that week mm-hmm. in my life. So whatever you can do to protect these players, but the players will tell you. They'll do it all again for free.
Oh, yeah.
They'll do it all again no matter what. And some of these guys last week said they don't see how these rules can be enforced. This latest rule about not being able to make contact with your head, the defensive linemen are all voicing, how are we going to play the game?
Right.
Or how are they going to do it without throwing a flag every 2 minutes?
We've been lucky at Woodland Hills. We have a number of people who have gone on to the pros. And to a man, each one of the players would say, I would do the same thing that I had to do to get to the game.
Sure. Well, Benny, were those, when you say that, are those the players that Woodland Hills got from other schools? Other schools? No, I'm asking a question. No, I'm asking a question. I mean, were they players that were at Woodland Hills?
Break came at the right time.
Okay,
Bill.
Well, that question will go unanswered. Well, look, we greatly appreciate having – I can't. Brother can't ask a question.
Oh, this great. I have a story about Gronkowski that is priceless, the guy that plays with
Hold it for the show because this segment has come to a close. So we want to thank our guests once again, Robert, Rock, I'm absolutely right about my position, Robinson, and Wayne Moody, the almost professional baseball player who has fond memories of having been there until the shoulder went awry on him, and Gray Killer Smitty Smith, who has called a whole lot of games and made it a joy to be at. So we appreciate you guys coming in. And Kevin, I'll see everybody next week with a whole lot more surprises. And be mindful that you can.
It's a family affair next week.
Family affair is coming next week. We're bringing in couples. And we're going to talk about what they talk about in sports and hopefully get somebody to divorce the other person before the show is over. Now, Kev's objective is to talk sports. My objective is to get a divorce. Now, I'm not married, so I'll be bringing in a other. But don't have to worry about divorcing her. Now, do I, boys? Until next week, everybody, remember,
champions aren't born. They're made. And we make them better than anyone.
Soul Tape. Champions Live is the name. Talking sports is our game.